Hi, I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Sherry.
We're the pastors of Grace Christian Center, and we are honored that you are here with us every Sunday morning and this morning, because there's a lot of places you could be, but this is Grace Christian Center Online. And this is an interesting time in all of our lives, our time in the country, where we haven't been in our gatherings publicly for quite some time. We're hopeful that it's going to be only a few weeks more. But above all, we're here to celebrate the presence of the Lord and to enjoy Him in song and in worship. We want to welcome you, those who are coming online.
Good morning, Vern Perryman.
There you
it's
go,
nice
Vern
to have Pat. You and Pat with us.
Indeed. We're so glad that you're with us this morning. It's going to be a celebration. You know, last week was Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And it was the time we just rejoiced in His presence, and we're going to do the same thing because of that resurrection life. There's a verse that we start every Sunday morning with, and it goes like this, Psalm 118, verse 24.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. So this is a little song that says, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the time to rejoice. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. So let's celebrate the Lord. George and our sweet friend Harriet Logg, Pastor Daryl Merrill, we're honored that you're here with us today.
Lynn and Jim Peel. And
Kathy
Lunsford, it's nice to have you all with us. And Shanta, good morning.
And that would say hi to Shanta and her son. And Chris Cohen, I imagine you're here as well with us. And we're just delighted that you guys are here. This is a day to celebrate, and we're honored that you've taken time to be with us. Daria Frank is now
Amen.
With us, honey. Very good.
Amen.
Good morning,
Hi, Daria.
Good morning. Well, Pastor Sherry, you've got something the Lord has talked to you about. Would you do us the honor of sharing with us the word of the Lord?
Gladly. Psalm 47. We're in that in our Through the Bible in a Year reading right now today, and I'm going to read from the King James translation. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding.
Amen.
God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. My goodness, sing and praises. Those are the same words in Hebrew. And it's the word zamar. And it's a very demonstrative word. It's not just singing and praising, maybe with your hands raised a little bit. No, it's clapping and playing an instrument.
Woo-hoo!
Means to celebrate, to walk around singing. So, as we're in our worship service this morning, you can walk around your house with your hands and you can spin and nobody will be watching you except maybe your spouse. And so just enjoy worship this morning. He repeats this word in the psalm 5 times in 2 verses. Sing praises. five times. Do you think he was trying to get the point across?
I think so.
I do. And this is a time to celebrate him. Can't celebrate too much else, but we can celebrate him. From the Passion Translation, it reads this way. God arises with the ear-splitting shout of his people. God goes up with a trumpet blast. Sing and celebrate. Sing some more.
Woo-hoo!
Sing your highest song of praise to the King. For God is the triumphant King. The powers of the earth are all his. Amen. So sing your celebration. Sing your celebration songs of highest praise to the glorious enlightened one. Our God reigns over every nation. He reigns on his holy throne over all. And I say amen, 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 amen. And what are we going to do this morning? We're going to sing praises. Every praise, oh God, every praise is for you this morning. Let's do it and let's be demonstrative as we worship in our homes.
That's
amen.
Right.
Pastor Cam, can stand you sing up. Every praise?
Yes, I love that song.
I love that song. He's going to do another song that I just absolutely love this morning too.
So stand amen. Up, clap your hands, rejoice, and enjoy the Lord this morning, even as we sing. Thank you, Pastor Sherry. Fantastic word. And it's so true. We get a chance to have everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Isn't that what
amen.
The scripture declares? So we want to welcome the Josephs and the Nordbergs with us. And we're just so glad that you're with us this morning. So lift your voice and sing. Here we go. You can do this at home. It goes like this. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
Here we go.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship.
is to our God. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
Isn't that the truth? Don't you want to just lift your voice and praise and worship to Him this morning? We're welcoming friends from Port Townsend and Port Hadlock, from Bridge Haven. We thank you for being here with us this morning. I see some people from Pullman, friends of ours from Pullman. Just delighted that you're here with us this morning. We get to worship our God. So, you know, again, it's like I say every Sunday, it's not about us. It's not about this being professional. We're not professional, so you can try this at home. Go ahead and jump in. Songs go like this. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Come into this place to worship this morning. You say when two or more are gathered in your name, there you are right in the midst. And Lord, we've got people from Cincinnati this morning with us this morning. We are absolutely delighted. And above all, Lord, most of all, we're just delighted that you are here with us. We are in love with you. And Jesus, we can't let our voices be still, because then the rocks would cry out. And we're not going to let the rocks do our part, are we, church? We're going to do By lifting our voice to Him, we're going to lift Him up and glorify His name, because what a glorious name, the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad that you know the name of Jesus today? He's the one we worship. It goes like this.
You were the Word, the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Glory in creation, now revealing you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised with life again. You have no equal. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name.
Given a man by where men and women must be saved. The name of Jesus, what a glorious name. Lord, we are so grateful. It's a beautiful name. It's a wonderful name. It's the powerful name. And we've come here today, this morning, to worship you because you are so great.
As
here this morning because we love you. And we thank you that your name is the name above all names, the name that saves us, redeems us, transforms our very life. Lord, we know there are people that are in the sound of our voice that are hurting. We thank you for the first responders on the front lines, Lord Jesus, of this health crisis in our nation. But Lord, we don't yield to this virus. We rebuke this demonic virus right now in Jesus' name. And we proclaim and pray for healing and peace and strength for those who are suffering. Strengthen the physicians, the surgeons, the nurses, the attendants. Lord, the people that are serving those folks, the people in restaurants who are ministering to needy people and providing food. There's so many doing those kinds of essential services. But Lord, we believe that preaching the gospel and being here to serve your people is an essential service. But it's all because you did your essential service. We ask you, oh God, to heal our land, to open our land back up again, but not in the same way, not in business as usual. In a way, oh God, where we acknowledge who you are. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins in this land. Have mercy and start us again. How we love you, Lord Jesus. God sent his only Son to save us. He died upon a cross for all our sins. I praise the precious name of Jesus. He walked out of the grave.
His
life is greater because I serve a Savior. Last week, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Jesus is alive again. What a great Lord who went to the grave. He was tortured, beaten, buried, died, buried, obviously, and then he rose again. And now we serve a Savior, this risen Lord. What a great King. What a great Messiah. What a great Savior. I want to talk this morning a little bit, take a few minutes of your time, and talk about changing expectations. I want you to go back. We're going to go to John chapter 21, so you can put your hand there or your finger there in the scriptures. Grab your phone, your tablet, your hard copy Bible, whatever it is you have. But I'll be reading from the New King James. I'll have a few other translations, but eventually we'll end up in John chapter 21. An angel promised that Jesus would meet his disciples in Galilee, if you remember. Now, the Sea of Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee, known by both names, that's where Jesus spent the majority of his ministry. He called most of his disciples from there. It's northern Israel. If you've been there, you remember it's a gorgeous setting. By the way, the Sea of Galilee, thankfully, answers to prayer, is back up nearly to full capacity. It's been quite some time since it's been that way. But these northern parts of Israel were the first parts, if you recall, to fall away into idolatry. Assyria came and overran Israel, took 10 northern tribes away. And Jesus comes along and he fulfills the scripture, the light that shines in a dark place. And in that dark place, he began his ministry there. By the way, God can do anything for you and for me. His light can shine in a dark place, even right where you are, where I am today. The Sea of Galilee, Lake Tiberias, man, the storms would kick up. And you recall the disciples were terrified in a boat when a huge storm whipped up. Jesus is asleep in the boat. He's obviously sound asleep. And the disciples are terrified because the waves and the winds look like they're going to absolutely engulf them. And they cry out to the Lord. And Jesus says to the storms, "Peace, be still." And they realize, you know, they thought he was great. But now they realize he's God, really realize he's God. After 3.5 years of ministry, spiritual storms shook Israel. And in Jerusalem, they have just been through, these disciples, tumultuous events. They go in riding with their Messiah, walking beside him as he goes in on donkey back. Crowds are cheering, "You're it, you're the Messiah." And it's a clear declaration of him being Messiah. And they all expect he's going to go in and take over the throne and get rid of Rome. And he doesn't do that. Today's message is called Changing Expectations. He didn't meet their expectations. But these disciples have all this stuff going through their mind, the triumphal entry, people expecting a new kingdom. Jesus is in his garden, in the garden of praying, and they're there, and all of a sudden, betrayal from Judas, their friend, has betrayed Jesus. Armed soldiers come and arrest him, and they take him away, and he goes through these trials. They find out that Peter betrayed him with 3 denials. Jesus is horrifically crucified, and then we have the death burial, and thank God we have the resurrection. Jesus, back to life. And there's manifestations of them. He shows up to his disciples. He shows up to different people, two on the road to Emmaus, to the women. He shows up, and they come back and tell the disciples who are hiding behind closed doors. They're terrified this is going to happen to them. And they bring the report that Jesus is alive. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And they don't believe him. But then Jesus shows up to them, goes right through a wall, and shows up to them, says, "Guys, don't be afraid," rebukes their unbelief. But says to Thomas, "And how many have we been, of us have been like Thomas? Put your hands in my side, see where the spear came, and feel the scars in my hands." And Jesus is known by his scars. And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." But now the disciples have been told to go to Galilee. They've seen him. But what's next? Changing expectations. How do you get right when everything's wrong? We're going to see this unfold, especially for Peter this morning. I want you to put yourself in the sandals of the disciples, if you will. Everything is different. I like to imagine the potential conversations that may have occurred or the thoughts that may have taken place. Nothing was right. Nothing. Can you imagine the disciples' out loud musing? Nothing went like what I expected. Jesus was betrayed by Judas and arrested. We all ran. Jesus was crucified, buried. Judas went out and hung himself. Oh, what was up with Judas? We didn't know what to do next. We were stunned. You could imagine them saying, we could hardly breathe. They hung out together. A disciple would say, we hung out together. We were afraid and we prayed. By the way, that's the best thing to do when you're afraid. He told us what would happen, but we didn't get Jesus. We didn't understand what he was saying. It wasn't what we expected. And now he's here, and that's incredible. And now we're waiting for him again in Galilee. I wonder, what's next? Have you discovered that things are always different than what you expect? They want to see Jesus. They want to be with him. But what really does that mean? I want to talk for a couple of moments about the majesty of mystery. The majesty of mystery. How to get right when everything is wrong. We've got to see how big God is. And he knows more than you and I know. He's got the macro vision. We don't. But have you discovered, like me, that we don't have the Lord all figured out? We just don't have him all figured out. You know, he loves you. Your story is rich and respected. He's worked with you. Life's up and downs. He's worked with me. Your walk has brought you to this time and this place. To get right, you have to see Jesus, the majesty of mystery. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 in the New American Standard Version. For I want you to know, Paul says in Colossians, how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are in Laodicea. And for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. We used to sing a song a long time ago. Remember that he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you in his hands. He's got me. But sometimes we just don't see it. Is it a confusing enough time in America for you yet or in the world? Everyone's life right now seems to be on hold and it's all completely different. How's that working out for you? Especially if you like control, which I do. Yikes. COVID, illness. You had plans, travel and seeing family, coming to church, celebrating in the presence of the Lord together. Just even going to the grocery store is different. In a moment, life is completely different. We have heartache, as we've said before, and I know you join me in it. Heartache for those who are ill. Grief of heart for those who have lost their lives and died. Especially for those who have died alone. We thank God for the frontline heroes who are serving them, who have held hands for people as they transition from this life. I saw a story and tears filled my eyes as the nurses and attendants, all in their gear, their personal protective equipment, had their pictures of who they were, their own pictures, on the front of their gown so the patient could see who was working with them. It's powerful. People's lives have been upended and things are out of control. Now, we rebuke, just like we did a little while ago, we rebuke the demonic. We rebuke the virus. The virus is not in control. Jesus is. And I agree with the kinds of things that have said this is an invisible enemy. We know who the enemy of our souls is, the devil himself. But this enemy, we will wrestle. And by the grace and power of God, we'll have the victory in Jesus. We release his power in prayer. But it's not easy when we don't understand. The majesty of mystery. Jesus knows what's next. Jesus has you in his hands. He's inscribed you on the palms of his hands, the scripture says. But this walk with him is step by step. Jesus told him in Matthew 28, verse 20, second part of the verse, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Sometimes, if you're like me, that seems better felt than telt. But it's true. We just don't always know how. The majesty of mystery, step by step. He loves you. He knows you. He's with you. When you don't understand what's going on, understand that he knows. The mystery is he's the majesty who loves you and holds you, even when you don't feel it or see it. Point three, let's talk about followership. We've talked about changing expectations. We've talked about the majesty of mystery. Let's talk about followership for a moment. In John chapter 21, we find an incredible conversation between Jesus and Peter, where Jesus tells him some of the things that are going to happen in his life. Peter looks at John, who's kind of following behind, and he says, well, Lord, what about this guy? What about him? And John 21, 22, Jesus says, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? A lot of misunderstanding about that verse. That doesn't mean he wasn't going to die. But he concludes that verse with these three words that are profound for you and me today. He says, you follow me. He's saying to you and to me this morning, follow me, Kev. Follow me. Even when you don't understand, he said, he was basically saying, Peter, no matter what happens, no matter what I do in someone else, no matter what happens to you, I've got plans for you and I've got you. The word follow in the Greek, that word means literally to be in the same way with, to accompany, especially as a disciple, to walk this road step by step. We're on the high wire of faith, but Jesus is right there with us. Listen to the scripture. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. Out of the Passion, that says, the steps of the God-pursuing ones follow firmly in the footsteps of the Lord, and God delights in every step they take to follow him. If they stumble badly, they will still survive, for the Lord lifts them up with his hands. Have you discovered that in your own life? Psalm 23, verse 4, very pertinent for this time for some people. For all of us. Yea, though I walk through the valley. I walk. It's a walk. Step by step we walk. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Out of the Passion. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. What does it mean to walk with Jesus? It means he's actively present. He's actively leading. He'll change your expectations. He may do something different than you thought or expected. But can you trust that he knows what's best for you and me? The old TV show, Father Knows Best. God knows best. Knowing Jesus, the majesty of mystery, means it's okay if we don't understand it all. Now, that's tough. Again, maybe you're like me. I like to have control in my life. And that's tough to say, it's okay even if I don't understand it. But when you walk with God, He's in control. And it's okay, even if I don't understand it. Romans 8:28 tells us all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It means followership. Put your steps in the steps of the leader. Hold on to His hand. Follow Him. Do what the leader does. You know the game when you were a kid. Do what the leader does. Go where the leader goes. Hebrews 13, verse 5, second part says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, the writer in Hebrews was quoting from Joshua 1:5, where Joshua was commanded to take the children of Israel into their new promised land. Moses had now passed off the scene. Here's Joshua, and God three times in about eight verses says, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. It's good news, isn't it? Let's talk about Peter's journey for just a moment more. Between John 20 and John 21, there's probably anywhere from one or more, likely 4 or 5 weeks, possibly. And in verse 3, Peter, the big burly fisherman, says, I'm going fishing. And six others say, oh, okay, we'll come along with you. Why did he do it? Out of control? Something to do that he knew fully how to do? Something he could control. Maybe. Maybe out of shame. Maybe Peter didn't feel like he was good enough to be with this group anymore and he had to just go do something, but something was driving Peter back to the life he knew. Do you know uncertain goals leads to anxiousness? The USA is restless. Some, possibly some here watching this morning, with suicidal thoughts. Domestic abuse is on the rise. Drugs and kids have lost out on high school activities, really important times in their lives. And everyone's expectations have been dealt a blow, a major blow. And it's a vulnerable time. But in that vulnerable time, we get to share with people the news that Jesus loves them, the mystery of His majesty. He's here. He loves them and will help them. But I dare say, church, people who know the Lord, we need to commit ourselves to an understanding that we need to change our expectations, because I don't believe we're going back to life as normal. I think this is a divine time throughout the world, or a time He has at least allowed to arrest our attention, to get us to sit up and pay attention, to seek Him, to spend time with Him. You may never have a time like this again in your life, to seek the Lord in this set apart time, read the Word, pray, meditate, understand, seek, call out to Him. And if you're with your family, to love the family you're with and to be with the family you're with and to share your hearts and to pray for one another. If your time, husbands and wives, if your time in prayer has dwindled, time to get it back together. And if your time in the Word has dwindled, time to brush off the dust off the Bible. And it's a time like we've never had in our lives before. Okay, Jesus, what are you doing? What are you saying? I don't think we're going back to life as normal. And Peter went back, tried to go back to life as normal, but guess what? The Bible tells us in John 21 that he fished all night long and they didn't catch a thing. The old doesn't work. Verse 4 of John 21, when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. He doesn't look the same. He's not just doing the same thing. It's a transition time. Being with Jesus, meeting with Jesus, hearing from Jesus, seeing Him, being met by Jesus changes everything. Changes everything. This isn't just what it's been before. Verses 6 and 7 of John 21, He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat, you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Verse 11, just a little bit further, tells us it was 153 fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, I love that. Don't you love that image of himself? John says, I'm the disciple he loved. Well, so are you this morning, the disciple he loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and he plunged into the sea. Oh, there's just lots of meaning in here. There was an earlier time when Peter was just meeting Jesus. He had fished all night. He couldn't catch anything. Jesus said, throw the net out the other side. And he caught somebody fish. The net broke. And he said, you know, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. But Peter's gone through a stumbling and a denial now. And he may indeed feel that I don't have that calling in my life anymore. But Jesus said, cast your net out, Peter. And he filled it with fish and the net didn't break. Peter's love for Jesus, I just love it. He jumps into the water. He's going to swim to shore because he so loves his friend, his Lord, and he's going to get there first. They dined together, all the disciples. Jesus prepared a meal for them at the shore. And then Jesus and Peter have this life-changing conversation. It's ripe with meaning. I could go into so many directions. I'm just going to keep it simple. Peter had denied Jesus three times, and now three times, Jesus is going to ask a question that will lead to Peter's restoration. Three denials, three questions, three opportunities to recommunicate his love for the Lord and the Lord's love for him. Jesus said to Simon Peter, verses 15 through 17 of John 21, Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me more than these? And that means most commentaries agree. That means that Peter was saying before when he said, I won't deny you, Lord. He was saying, I love you more than these other disciples love you, Lord. And Jesus says, Peter, do you really love me more than these? And it's telling in Peter's answer when he says, I love you, Lord. But he leaves off more than these. Peter's now been humbled. Peter's had his expectations changed. Peter has seen the mystery of the majesty of the mystery, I'm sorry. But Peter's seen it, a resurrected Lord. Now he's broken. Jesus saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Joseph, do you love me? And he said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? Now we could make a long story out of this where Jesus says, do you agapeo me, Peter? And Peter says, I phileo you. It's not as high. It's a brotherly love. And a lot of people have taught those. You look into the scriptures. I want to be faithful to the text and early translations or in the languages. It may not mean that, but the whole point is, Peter, do you really love me? And the question kept coming. And one, two, three times I denied you, Lord, but three times I'm grieved that you have to ask this, but on the third time I'm saying again, yes, Lord, I love you. In shame, Peter probably thought it was over, but Jesus brings him back to his calling, and he says, okay, take care of the lambs, feed the sheep, take care of the sheep, Peter. You still have this calling. My calling is on your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you know you haven't either lived up to what he's called you to be or do. Maybe you turned aside. Maybe you sinned. You know, sin, doing what he doesn't want you to do, not doing what he does want you to do. It's that definition of the bow and arrow. You shoot the arrow and it just misses the mark. Doesn't have to be huge way off the bullseye, but it just doesn't hit the bullseye. And maybe you feel like your life hasn't struck the mark that he wants you to hit. He's asking you this morning, do you love me? I've still got my hands on you. Do you love me? I still know how to lead you. Do you love me? I'll change your expectations. Follow me. Follow me. Within the last 8-9 months with my wife on a cruise. Yes, we love to cruise. I know everybody's calling those cruises petri dishes, but we love to cruise. My wife especially loves to cruise. And we were with some family members at a conference, and then we had opportunity to go from Galveston over to Jamaica. And there was one place I hadn't seen, and my wife's been telling me for many, many years, long before we were husband and wife. She was saying, because she had gone with her great family to Jamaica, and they had seen Dunn's River Falls. Now, if you've never seen Dunn's River Falls, you look it up on Google it. The pictures are great. It's this incredible falls. It goes up 180 feet, 18 stories up, and it's these beautiful falls. And they work on it. The people that serve at the falls work on them, and they scrub the rocks every single morning so people don't slip on them. But they take tours up these rocks, guided tours, 3, maybe even sometimes 5 different trails of people. So I had a chance to go to Dunn's River Falls because we went to Jamaica. And it was an incredible time. I burned to a crisp out in the sunshine, and this is all covered with trees. This was perfect for me. And the water is warm, and it was just great. And it spills out into the bay. You know, it's just a beautiful setting, idyllic setting. But it's steep, man, and all sorts of people are around. And the guide, we must have gotten the best cheerleading guide in the whole squad. He had us cheering, I can do it, you can do it, we'll make it, we're the best team. There's something to the spirit of encouragement for your life and mine. But he said, you got to do a couple of things. You have to keep your eyes on the leader. You got to follow the leader. You got to put your steps where I stepped. And thirdly, you've got to hold on to each other. Now, there were times, purposely, the chain got separated. But much of the time, somebody had my hand, and I had the hand of somebody. I helped others. I helped this young lady. And sometimes, man, we were slipping. And boy, if you looked at the water's swimming by you, or it's rolling by you, rushing by you. It's incredible. And if you looked at that, man, you'd slide all the way down to the bottom. And the water was rolling, so I couldn't watch the quote-unquote circumstances. I didn't want to keep my eyes on the water. I kept my eyes on the leader, where he'd stepped. And sometimes the gal behind me, she just really started to fall, several times actually. I held her in the hand and said, okay, it's all right, I got you. And I helped her straighten up, and then I fell in. But we got back up and kept our eyes on where the leader had stepped, on the leader, and holding on this human chain. And we did get to the top, much beyond what any of us expected. And I was standing next to this really sweet kid, a young millennial. He'd obviously been given trophies and awards for participation. And he looked at me when he got to the top, and he said, I think we should all get a certificate for this, don't you? And I said, well, yeah, that'd be a great idea, but we've got the experience that lives in here and here, but yeah, you bet. Let's get a certificate. But the point was, we made it far beyond what we thought we could do because we kept our eyes on the leader. We stepped where the leader had stepped, and we held on to the person in front and behind us. And that's what it's like in the body of Christ, in the family of God. We can make it by the grace and power of God. He'll change your expectations. Everything's going to be different. But we can follow him. If you're not saved this morning, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, I pray that you would give your life to Jesus right now. I'll pray in a moment. Give you that chance. But if you're like me, a brother or a sister who's walked with the Lord for a long time now, and sometimes you slip off those rocks. You don't exactly make the destination. But Jesus looks and says, Peter, Kevin, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord. You know I'm not hitting the heights of where I want to be all the time, but oh, God, I love you with all my heart, my soul, my passion, my mind, and my strength. Take us on, Lord. Take us on. If the Lord's spoken to you this morning, just pray along with me. Lord, we come to you today. We know that you're the one in charge. You've changed our expectations. We don't know exactly what's going on in this life, but you do. We're going to follow you. The majesty of the mystery. Lord, we are so grateful that you indeed are the mystery of God, and you fill us with yourself. I repent for turning aside or not believing, ever becoming fearful, or mostly for being frustrated because I'm not in control right now. I repent of that. By faith, we receive your forgiveness as we follow on to know the Lord. If you've not given your life to Jesus, pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I believe you're the Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of sinning against you. Be my Lord and Savior. And right now, by faith, I receive you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've done that, we invite you to please write us here. You can send us an email, kevinhunter@aol.com. My wife is sherryhunter@outlook.com. Go to our website, gracechristiancenter.us. If you've just given your life to the Lord, there's an incredible series on there that's called Launching Your Faith. I urge you. It's absolutely free for you. It's 13 lessons, 15 lessons, materials you can download, some fill-ins that'll help strengthen and reinforce the truth of the Scripture. It's right there online for you, gracechristiancenter.us. We want to thank those of you who have sent your tithes and offerings, and we are welcoming you. If you're with us and you have a desire to give, I'm just going to tell you how to do that. You can send it here, Grace Christian Center, 240 Maple, as in the tree or syrup, Maple Lane, Port Ludlow, L-U-D-L-O-W, Washington, 98365. If you're from another church, you tithe and make your offering at that church. But if there's something you want to do here, we welcome and invite you, and we are thankful. And Grace Christian Center folks, we love you and appreciate what you're doing. So 240 Maple Lane. Or you can go to gracechristiancenter.us. There's a little giving button on there. Thank you, Dan, for working that out. But you can give online. And you follow that through. It'll populate, takes a moment, and then you go through and you can do your donation either by credit card or by direct check through your bank. But now if you put that in, it's going to ask you to create your own account. And at one point, if you do a direct deposit, it'll probably ask you for a password to get in, but it's through a very protected way. You've done that through other things as well. But I want you to feel safe and secure. We love you guys. And we rarely ask, if you're with us in person, we rarely ask for offerings, but some people have asked, and so we're sharing it. Above all, we love you. We thank you for being with us. Remember how much he loves you. And even in this time, even in this hour, we get to serve a Savior, even though he's changing our expectations. God bless you. Have an incredible day in the Lord.